stone is a trip.
And when you're on a bike, I mean a big bike, you've got all power, man.
The Gravediggers are on the move. A new breed of motorbike gang.
That's why we're here, man, together. Because when you're out there riding, man, with the Gravediggers, what can stop us, man? What can stop us? We own the world.
They live in a fortress by the sea. Vietnam veterans. With their own style of life. Their own rules. Their own religion.
Satan!
Look at me when I strike the air.
They don't seem to make a lot of friends. But now, somebody wants them dead. All of them. So the cops send Stone.
It's a pig.
Yeah, that's right, I'm a cop. I've been sent to find out who's been killing your mates.
Why would you want to know that?
That's the way I earn my living.
The whole reason we're outlaws is because we're against pigs. And everything a pig is. So how are we going to do our thing with you pigging around us?
Ken Shorter is Stone, working undercover on a deadly mission. Sandy Harbert is the undertaker, leader of the Gravediggers.
Your law sends young blokes to somebody else's country to fight people they know nothing about. As long as you keep on shooting them, they hang medals on you. When you don't shoot them anymore, they shut you in jail.
The cop and the bike gang. Two lifestyles clash in a suspense thriller you cannot predict.
What's the score, man? You got a pro after you.
Call it!
Gone, man.
Look, man, I didn't want any trouble.
Why don't you do something honest, like sell used cars to old ladies?
I'll kill you.
You think we're a pack of imbeciles, don't you?
I'll kill you!
Stone is different. Take the trip.
Welcome to Parks Eclipse Movie Night.
Take the trip.
Take the plunge.
This is just taken.
The trailer.
Dave, tell them what we watched this week.
This week, we watched this movie Stone from 1974. Found out about it after
we're all excited
Mad Max.
After Mad Max. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're all excited after Mad Max.
So what, okay, the connection was you said, oh, toe cutters in this other biker movie.
Yeah, Hugh Keysburn and the Knight Rider is also in this and also worked like as a member of like the production crew. As a grip.
As a grip.
Yeah. He just like volunteered to do it.
They had
like,
those production pictures of him.
In costume.
Yeah, in costume. Yeah. The Dr. Death costume.
That was awesome.
With the fucking cape and the pentagram. Yeah. And I watched we watched the trailer for it, you know, and I was like, oh, this movie looks fucking badass. We have to watch this.
The second we can.
Yeah.
So Dave's been waiting about a week.
On Netflix.
All of us impatiently. I've been bugging him every day. You check your mail? So we finally got to watch it tonight, and then right after, find out that there was a pretty cool, what year was that?
It was 90.
Stone Forever.
99.
1999 documentary called Stone Forever about the making and the legacy of Stone, which was very enlightening, especially after seeing the movie.
Yeah.
We pretty much all liked it.
Yeah, it was all right.
We all liked the movie a whole lot, but watching the documentary,
Australian
you understood.
Biker, it was the Australian... Australian Easy Rider, definitely.
Yeah. But we got to understand why we've never heard of it, because it's almost insane that we've never heard of that movie already.
Yeah.
But then you find out he pretty much got screwed on that end, so it never did really do
it's like much. The scene where the guy's in the cemetery and he yells Satan really loud. I'm pretty sure we would have known about that movie.
But yeah, so it didn't really make it over here, and it's a shame because it's a well-made movie, and he's been fighting probably to this day trying to get the fucking movie paid attention to. But it's a gigantic movie in Australia. They celebrate it every year. They do mock. There's a giant funeral procession at the beginning of the movie with 400 bikers in it, a bunch of Hell's Angels and shit, and they do a mock riding of that. They get together and watch it at festivals and stuff. It's just this big. I don't know this for a fact, but it looks like you could throw a rock in Australia and hit somebody who knows what that fucking movie
is. Totally.
Yeah, if you're around a biker, it looks like they know what that movie is.
And it just completely did not make it here.
It made it to Cannes, and that was about it.
He talked about doing all the hard work and stuff, like people offering him like nothing for it. And he's like, no, like this movie is.
They offered him $2,500 for international release.
Right. Yeah.
It was made through the Australian Film Commission.
Yeah.
And they owned the rights.
And they owned the rights. And they were trying, they had a lot of comedies and stuff coming out at the time. So it was hard for them to see that working with the rest of their movies, so they didn't even show it. Yeah. It was at all these film festivals, but they weren't showing it.
They were embarrassed of it.
They were embarrassed.
It became
of it,
the black sheep, the redhead stepchild of the Australian IFC. So okay, that's all after the fact. Let's talk about the movie itself. From the get go, opening scene of the movie. There's a campaign for he's a senator.
Some kind of politician.
It's a politician giving a big speech about the environment, and it's an environmental rally.
Australian ambassador to the media.
Yeah, and the gang, the Gravediggers, rides up, and Hugh Keyes Byrne is tripping out of his mind. Very first scene. He's got tunnel vision. It looks like
wandering around in a crowd, like scared, you know, like kind of
like
freaked
he's looking
out.
Through a red porthole.
Yeah, they show like the kaleidoscope of clapping hands and stuff, and I could just imagine.
And there's a
freaking out.
He starts, needless to say, he starts to get away from everybody. Yeah, he's freaking out.
So he goes and hides on the top of a building during a fucking political speech,
just to get away from it all, man.
Just so happened to be an assassin on the same building, so he sees the guy get shot. He almost gets shot by the assassin dude himself.
The dude did pull the gun on him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't even notice. He just, like, kind of wandered off, you know? But yeah, that, like, is kind of loosely the plot for the whole movie.
Yeah,
so,
real loosely. Real
you know, this assassin trying to kill off the gravediggers and
stuff.
He's
tripping so hard that he didn't even know what he saw.
Yeah.
And then doesn't even remember that he saw it in the first place.
Yeah.
They just ride off because the rest of the gang hears the gunshots, freaks out. He sees the gang leaving pretty much and hauls ass with them.
Yeah.
And he wants to get away from whatever the hell just happened that he don't understand. But so the gang's being picked off one by one. We don't know exactly by who, but we have a good idea. And they don't know why. They're being set up to think that it was a rival gang that they already have beef with, that they already fight with. They call them the Blackbirds. The Blackhawks.
Blackhawks, yeah.
Blackhawks.
Yeah, like that doesn't even play a major part in the rest of the movie anyways. You know,
they
it's
have
like
the brawl. They're hanging out at that one bar. They have the brawl. And then the guy shows up. And then Stone shows up.
Stone.
Yeah.
That wasn't the rival gang thing when Stone shows up. Some construction workers hanging out in that bar, and one of them fucked with him.
No, that was the first fight. That was the first bar fight scene.
Yeah.
There was another one.
The construction workers hanging out at the bar still in their hard hats, so you know the construction workers.
The next bar fight scene was when the other bike gang actually showed up, and they had a little confrontation.
They kick over
Stone's
bike. Stone
is already there
because
he's the one that starts the fight.
They kick over his jet bike.
Yeah.
So Stone, first time we see Stone, he rides up in a white tux. did he have a rose?
Something like that, with the white helmet, with the white visor, and but he's got his vest on underneath.
Looking real
with
smart.
A tiny little pistol tucked in the back of his fucking pants.
rides up and offers his services to the gang. Admits he's a cop. He don't walk in saying I'm a cop, but they guess it
they
pretty know, quick and
they
he
call
admits
him
it right
a
away.
They call him a cop and then he admits it.
A pig.
Yeah.
Pig, sorry.
So
he may not have been going to be
so
going
first
to it,
first look at Stone without knowing he's Stone, without knowing he's gonna be the main guy in the movie, he's riding up on that bike. I made a joke right away.
Yeah,
action slacks, so we all yelling shit. Cause it's a comical entrance for sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't portray the tough guy thing that the other guys do. And whenever he has to step
the
up...
The dapper dasher.
It's that much more effective when he has to step up and do it because he doesn't come across like that in the first place.
Yeah.
He's got tough... I mean, it's a ballsy move in the first place what he does.
Yeah, just showing up like that.
Yeah, but
like, hey, I'm gonna roll with you guys for a little bit.
Yeah. I am a cop. I'm gonna roll with you guys. You're not gonna be in trouble. We're gonna figure out who's killing you guys.
Yeah, definitely like portrayed in stark contrast to the rest of the gang, you know?
Yeah.
Like, looks like he could be, you know, fit the part, but...
Yeah, he's got the long hair.
Very much doesn't fit the part, you know, when it gets down to it.
Definitely. He's once he says he's a cop, it's kind of a, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely a cop.
It's funny, you kind of get tricked into thinking that, like, he is one of them, you know? He gets jumped in and stuff, and then, fucking spoiler. The fucking end.
If you haven't seen it, it came out in 1974.
But yeah, like, he's talking to his girlfriend, like, yeah, they're all right guys, you know, he just told her about how he completely fucked them over.
I'd be happy to see him again.
In jail and shit. Hey, I'd be happy to see him again. Fucking... beaten to death.
That's awesome. I don't like you, Dave.
But yeah, that's like part of the whole message of the movie, you know, like
they will. Don't get them wrong. Nice guy.
Yeah.
He even went around. He went around to like bars they hung out at and hamburger joints they went to and all. And everybody was just like, yeah, you know, they're fucked up crazy biker guys, but we like them. They're good guys.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
Yeah. But yeah, they took him out at the end. Popped in his house. He jumped up and shook the guy's hand with a big smile on his face. And the guy smiled back at him and then punched him out and then kicked him to death.
Well, he thought they were going to jump him at the beginning with the jacket. When they
were
giving him the jacket.
Yeah. Well, I thought they were about to inject him with some crazy
shit.
Oh, with the
They do the jacket ceremony. Like, you see that in biker movies. There's a different form of that ceremony.
Yeah.
Always. They throw it in the middle of a circle that they're all sitting around. And he gets up and takes off all his clothes to put on the clothes they just gave him. I guess there was other pants there too. I didn't see the pants.
Yeah, they gave him like that ripped pair of jeans.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they getting
like
this dude down
pants
in his fucking underwear? You know.
And then jumped in, grabbed him, held him in like a submission hold while a dude pulled out a hypodermic needle, and we were just like, fuck. I thought,
dang, they went there.
I thought he was about to be like tripping out or something.
We're gonna make you take the trip.
Yeah, or that.
The opening scene was a tripping scene.
Yeah.
But they just used it to pierce his ear to give him the gang earring.
Yeah, which at the end he's like, "Now I'm gonna hold on to this. I really like
that
it."
That was what started that conversation.
Yeah.
She was asking him when he was gonna get rid of it.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna keep it. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah. No, we're friends.
You see the arc it should make when he gets in, like, well, that scene right there, I thought they were going to beat him in, but they did it like that. There were a few things they turned on its ear like that that was, like, cool. Like, okay, I thought it was going to do this, but they did that instead. And there were some neat ideas like that. I'm always impressed by that. And for sure, you saw the arc that it should have been was, like, he was going to be fighting them a lot in the beginning, but, like, prove himself to them.
Yeah.
And become, like, the guy, you know? I was waiting for, like, the end of it, like, he's the next gang leader or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you were saying, oh, he's going to fucking quit the police force
and
join him.
He's going to become one of
and
them.
And then at the end, he just, like, turns him in.
They were adding all that
yeah.
up. They were adding all that up to
yeah.
that. Because, like, they were, like, talking about guys. All the guys ended up being ex-military.
Yeah.
He was an ex-boxer that had lost, like, the big fight or something, Toad.
Yeah.
he big boxer that had lost the big fight or something. He didn't really want to talk about it. He didn't get upset about it, but he changed the subject real fast on him whenever he was when he told him, and just like, yeah, that ain't what I do now. I ride bikes now. And he just pretty much dropped out. And they were all ex-military kind of running away, so it looked natural that he would also find his spot and just be like, I don't want to live that, you know, that organized cop life anymore. I want to go and be free with these guys, because they were all preaching freedom. There were definitely some biker enthusiast speeches in that movie.
Oh, definitely.
It's like, man, you know what it feels like, riding big and hard on a badass bike? Like, there's a whole bunch of that shit.
It made me want a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. It made you want to get out and be a fucking biker.
That's kind of like where the plot like just kind of pauses, you know, for the whole middle of the movie.
It just kind of hung out with him for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I liked those parts more. Well, the plot itself to me, like when it cut to the bad guys and what they were doing, I didn't care so much because I was like, I want to see what those dudes are doing. How's Stone doing with the group?
The pace of the movie was really fucking good. Like I was surprised.
Really fast paced. Yeah. Really fast paced.
Kept up with the music.
Not a start to finish like action movie, but still really fast paced as far as the plot went. Whenever you said they're rolling out to the big final fight, I didn't feel like it was the final fight yet. I felt like there was
In the cemetery, dudes hiding behind.
When it came down to it, I knew it was coming. But whenever you said it, like I thought they were that was just part of the plot moving on. Like it felt like it still had some time to go.
Rock and Roll by Billy Green, I think, is what it's
Rock
said.
And Roll by Billy. It wasn't even music, but
yeah, exactly.
Was it Billy Green?
I don't remember. That's possible.
So I mess this dude's name up, busting the door and kick us down.
Oh, is that the guy that's always laying down with the guitar? There's like a biker that's passed out next to an amp every time.
I think he was like the blonde dude in the background.
Yeah, there was a couple of scenes where he was like passed out next to an amp with a guitar. Yeah, the music was sick. Like he just partied all night playing guitar. It's cool they gave him a little role in the movie and stuff.
The music was awesome. There's some very, very progressive stuff in there that like you wouldn't have heard.
Well, there was some crazy, like just psychedelic moments where it was just like it sounded like somebody had a guitar like holding the whammy bar all the way down where the strings were just kind of hanging and then plucking that and it was just with a bunch of effects on it.
It wouldn't be an Australian movie without the didgeridoo.
That was nice. Original music by Billy Green.
Billy Green. That's right. I remembered it.
I wasn't such a fan of the songs, the actual songs. They kind of were a little ballroom bluesy, kind of honky-tonky, like the songs with lyrics and shit that played sometimes.
Yeah.
They didn't bother me so much because they still felt like fucking biker songs, but they were kind of good time rock and roll-y where it felt like it should have been something more like Black Sabbath or...
The other songs were definitely a little more... out there.
Yeah, the actual score stuff for the movie was real cool. Just rocking ass shit.
And the bikes, man.
The bikes.
That's your department.
The bikes, dude.
Tell us about
those. Was it bike porn?
Dude, yeah. Well, I mean, how many guys were in the motorcycle gang in Mad Max, you know? 30 dudes. Yeah. Still around there. And then, like you were saying, the funeral procession. 400.
Right.
And, you know, they had like 16 were actual... actors, you know, crew members, and then
everybody else
they just put
real.
Open call, you know, to anyone that wanted to show up. It's pretty fucking cool that there was that many people interested in doing something like that, you
right?
Know?
Like
just for fun, you
like
know?
How
just
many like tough ass bikers would just be like, I ain't gonna fuck with that. This is Hollywood shit. They're gonna make us look bad or something. Like they all really showed up and supported it, and they continue to support it over the years.
Yeah.
Help become organizers for the fan club and for the rides they do and all that shit.
Yeah, the remake of the funeral procession at the 25-year anniversary. Yeah. Of course, it wouldn't be complete without someone dying and 14 people getting injured.
But how many people were there?
Yeah,
it was like 300,000 or something, right?
Oh, I don't even know.
Or 30,000 maybe.
Yeah. I didn't catch a number on that part.
There was a fuck ton of people.
I read it on that on there. I think it was 30,000. It was a ton. I mean,
One person died, 14
that's
people
about
injured.
That's average.
It's like a fucking...
Either way, like you get what the dude said, like we didn't want to kill somebody. Like,
right.
You feel responsible because it's your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine like, you know, they have the Tour de France fucking motorcycle or bicycle wrecks where one dude goes out and just takes out everyone behind him. throw in like 700
somebody drives a car onto the fucking
train. Like right. 700 pound motorcycles riding, you know, 70 miles into. An hour a couple feet apart.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what you're getting into.
The chances are a lot stronger.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be towards the front. Right. You're not really pissed about you don't it. Want to be behind 10,000.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks, but you're not like suing your friends and yeah. shit about it.
Yeah, they have people with their kids on the back of their bikes. And
there's that dude riding with his kids standing up on yeah, the back seat.
I thought he was standing up.
I was like, dang, they are in Australia.
They don't yeah, care.
Giving
there,
a big thumbs up to the screen, to the camera.
Hell yeah.
I want to mention the performance, the reason that we got interested in the first place.
That dude.
Toad. Toe Cutter. Hugh Keyes Byrne. He's a neat dude.
See, he's fucking awesome.
He's just theatrical got, actor.
Yeah.
That quit.
Yeah, like classically
right,
trained.
Right, he ran out on. Yeah. Yeah.
He quit and started doing that shit. And
he's just
amazing.
Yeah, you see it in there. He's like old pirate.
He's beautiful to watch.
He's really great. Unpredictable. He's got the devil in his eyes. He's just, it's the same thing you caught with Toe Cutter, but kind of on a more personal on this one
tongue,
because he's like actually
action.
A nice guy around all the people that he loves. So you see him, like, kind of the softer side of that, which is still awesome.
Yeah.
And then, like, still bringing in the homoeroticism. Yeah.
Can I get a cigarette?
He's like a
and
master
then, like,
of that
he
shit.
Goes down on the dude to grab the cigarette from him when he pulls it out.
No, the dude offers him the pack, and he looks at him and purses his lips. Like put it in my mouth.
Put it in my mouth.
And then he bends down for it.
Yeah. And then he says, "You got a kiss," and the guy kind of laughs, like, "Hey, we're joking." And he's like, "What you laughing
this
about?"
This ain't no joke.
So yeah, it makes me think that's his idea sometimes. Like, this is what's really scary is I start coming off really gay about it. He's an awesome dude. I really like that guy. I never paid attention. Like, I always thought Toe Cutter was a cool ass dude. But I never thought about, like, the actor playing him and what else he may have done. I've never even thought of that for some reason. And it's just so neat to see him be awesome in something else.
Yeah, his is definitely one of my favorite characters and performances in the movie.
And he's...
So this was before Mad Max.
Stone is obviously the title. Oh, yeah, years before Mad Max.
So he already kind of knew the character Toe Cutter once he got there.
Yeah, and...
That's funny.
I want to look up his filmography because he may have done some other, like... You know, like over here, after Easy Rider, you had just a wave, an endless wave of biker movies from no budget at all to, like, the budget that Easy Rider had. It still wasn't a big budget, but they could afford some things. But I used to see a lot of those on USA Up All Night back in the 80s, and you'd have, like, the chick biker movies where it's like badass biker bitches, like they only have dudes as slaves and shit and they like turn them out, you know, and then you'd have like the two biker gangs that are killing each other off, and there are just so many different variations of it, bikers versus vampires, and a lot of them were fucking boring, and you just had like a lot of footage of like some just nameless rock and roll with like dudes riding down the road because that's all they could really afford. They couldn't afford to hurt the bikes. They couldn't afford to hurt people. So it was like, well, we'll just ride a lot. And every once in a while have like a knife fight, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But there were some really cool, just neat ones. But it just made me think of like the Australian version of that.
Yeah.
And it's such a meaner just... It's not the American freedom thing of Easy Rider. It's more of Wild West. Yeah, it's more of these gangs. They kind of bring out that same freedom message, but there's also a lot of ugliness and just badasses doing bad things, singing real cool shit. At the funeral, for Ferret is the guy that gets beheaded?
Yeah.
That's his funeral, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the funeral for him, the first thing Dr. Death says to him when they bring the body up to him is...
Okay, go down. You got it. But believe me, whoever got you is gonna get got too. And that's a promise, right?
Right, right, right.
That's exactly how he said it. I didn't want to mess that up. Now the guys that got you gotta get got too. There's just a lot of real cool lines like that.
Yeah, they don't miss words.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Everything somebody says is just solid gold.
Their hideout, once they figured out that somebody was hunting them, like, whenever whenever Stone shows up and is trying to get the job to watch over him, so an assassin shows up with a crossbow, shoots the fucking pinball machine in the goddamn place.
Well, he was trying to shoot Midnight.
Bastard. Yeah, he was trying to get Midnight.
Midnight was the one black guy.
He wasn't black. He was Aborigine. He came from the bush to ride.
Call me a racist.
I'm not. I'm correcting you.
Okay, black Aborigine. I'm not like...
Dark.
Yeah, I'm not putting all black people together, but I feel that Aborigine people probably consider themselves black.
They're dark, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Anyway, I mean that as no disrespect to Aborigine people. If we want to clear that up.
And they go to hide out of the beach. They go to the big fort bunker.
I knew you were going to knock that down playing with that.
I wasn't playing with that.
They go to the bunker out on the beach.
And it's awesome. It reminds me of Fort Pickens.
The bunker out on the beach is an old war emplacement that is buried into the side of a rock cliff. A big concrete... I don't know, they were similar to the Spanish ones in Fort Pickens that we've seen, but like not as
Fort
they
Pickens,
were.
Florida.
These were neater. The ones in Fort Pickens are like real big and open and big hallways, and this was like kind of small and windy little hallways.
Yeah, it was weird. The whole scene where they're riding in.
Yeah,
it seems like so like difficult to like navigate down all these narrow corridors and stuff. It's like definitely. Who built this and what was.
It was definitely built for if somebody infiltrated it, they're not going to know where they're going, and you at least have that going for you.
Yeah.
You know you
giant gun
it.
In a placement on the top.
Fucking labyrinth.
That's the meeting ground area up there. They had a bunch of mattresses laying down where people were fucking and staring out the
And they
the
could
window
go right out their
beach.
Back door onto the beach and jump in the water and show their cocks. There were some cocks in this movie.
He had to
There's
go there.
There's also some
titties and ass. There were some nice boobies.
Oh, dude. 70s Australia babes.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
So they all jump into the beach nude, and we were like, yeah, you can see some naked chicks, and then you get some extra.
On the way back to the back inside the dry off.
A couple dude dicks.
Well, of course, it's the writer, director, producer, and star of the movie. He's like, you're going to see my dick.
You think you get the camera behind that dune a little bit? You know, like
the dune kind of blocking it.
You'll hide our dicks. Yeah, y'all go ahead and stay behind that dune. I'm going to show my fucking dick.
He's walking up. It's like, is he going to go there? Oh, yeah. There's his dick.
There's my dick.
Yeah. I'm going to make you look at it. It's going to be on the big screen. It's going to be huge, mate. It's going to be huge.
That's all
to
show his cock.
That was great. Yeah, you're talking how much meaner it is than...
Easy Rider.
Than Easy Rider or just American movies in general. And that's true of, like, a lot of Australian... I think that's, like, kind of a staple, you know? That's the...
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee was pretty hardcore.
Dude, Young Einstein.
Young Einstein. Pretty hardcore.
Well, look at, like, The Proposition. You know, compare that to...
Yeah.
Compare that to, like, an American Western or something. Right. It's desolate.
It's more of a spaghetti Western.
It's bleak, but it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And just like Stone is brutal, Mad Max, you know, anything like that.
This is newer. I'm not sure what year, but it's since 2000. I saw it on Netflix. The Snowtown Murders, which is about a real serial killer in Australia from the 70s. Oh, but not that this is about that. But when they go there, they fucking go there.
Yeah, that's just like how they do it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's why you know, movies like Stone and Mad Max set so far apart from movies like Easy Rider and stuff. You know, like Stone might be the Easy Rider equivalent, you know, for Australia. Because they get into, like, a lot more, like, counterculture, like, just showing that lifestyle.
Yeah.
More than, you know, telling you about why that guy assassinated the fucking dude that's trying to save the environment.
Didn't even care about that so much. That was just what made everything happen.
Who the fuck?
Extreme pollution.
That got all the pieces in place.
Who the fuck assassinates someone that's trying to save the environment? Like, so someone gonna assassinate.
Big oil.
Yeah. Oh, you invented the electric car? We're gonna fucking assassinate you? You know, like.
Like, after the fact, after the movie, talking more about what we've learned from the documentary, the main reason we keep comparing it to Easy Rider is because it caught the imagination of the country the way Easy Rider did.
Yeah.
Australia went fucking crazy for Stone, and
all the critics panned it. They read about it on Friday and were like, oh shit, nobody's gonna like it. Then checked the numbers on Monday, and it was
breaking records.
Yeah, breaking records.
And teenage boys went from, you know, trying to look like whoever they were trying to look like at the time, David Bowie or something, to like getting fucking blue jean jackets and growing their hair out all crazy. Like everybody, that became the biker look in Australia. And it may have existed before that, but it definitely became the mainstream. Everybody knew that's what you look like whenever you're a badass in Australia for a long time.
Yeah.
And it still resonates in their biker culture is still Stone is sort of the centerpiece of it.
Yeah, it's funny how they talked about all the Hell's Angels showing up to the premiere.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, if they don't like this movie, we're gonna have a riot on our hands, you know. But it was just like pretty well accepted, you know, because of I think how honestly they try and portray that.
They didn't make them look bad.
They didn't make them look good.
They didn't make them look nice. Right? Yeah. But they didn't make them look silly, I guess was their point. Like,
yeah.
They look like tough guys that'll fuck you up, and that's what they want to look like.
Yeah, because that's what they are.
Yeah,
exactly.
But they didn't clean it up any, and that's a particular group of people that's okay that you don't have to clean up their image for them because they don't want it cleaned up.
Hell's Angels were actually, that was some of the guys in the movie, and they were getting paid in weed.
Yeah, weed and beer.
Weed and beer.
And he even turned in like an invoice to his accountant for the film, and it said Hell's Angels dupe or whatever.
Paid in dope and 36 dozen beers. That's what he said. 36 dozen beers.
That were gone in an hour.
Jesus Christ. Could you imagine that, drinking 36 dozen beers?
That's a lot of beers.
Dude, I'm just trying to picture what that would look like. And they'd fill this fucking room, you know, just 12 packs, you know? It's a fucking mountain of beer.
You could fill in that extra side over there. Okay, so getting to dope and beer. The scene, whenever I say that there's a lot of just straight up people kind of manifesting the lifestyle was in this scene, particular scene, when they're sitting around in the bunker smoking weed.
Yeah.
And
the writer,
as they inhale,
is staring out into the water.
Yeah, as everybody that inhales a joint, as they're inhaling, the film goes out of focus. It gets more and more out of focus until they stop sucking it in, and then it slowly goes back into focus. It's waving around the whole time real lazy. Like, you hitting that mic stand?
It's
waving around real
lazy.
And
they cut the audio out right there, too.
And they cut... Well, they
keep talking.
They dub the audio. They don't talk. Nobody's talking. It's just like they have telepathy. And it's showing cuts of them riding around and just them like getting all high and looking around. But whoever they're showing, it's their voice talking at the time. Like they have telepathy or they're talking to each other in their minds.
Yeah.
And they're all just talking about how much they love riding motorcycles and how awesome it is and how they wouldn't do anything else.
Manifesting.
That was another one of those scenes, you know, they offer Stone the weed and he's like, no, you know,
he
talks about getting high on riding and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just like another line, like, maybe you're not one of us, you know.
Yeah
It's another thing to separate him.
He don't think the same way we think. He's not
changing
his perception the way we've changed our perception.
I'd like to know if when he crashes in that race with Midnight, if that was planned or if that just happened.
It looked pretty real. Like, the dude that did it knew what he was doing if he did that deliberately, because it don't look like a fake, like, just drop.
Yeah.
Like, you saw that wheel pop out. And then when he talks about it, he's talking about it like the way you would talk about you wiped out on your bike, you know? He's yeah. like, yeah, and I felt back wheel coming up, and then it did come up. Like, that don't sound like a written line, like you can plan it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, check this out. His girlfriend at home, when Stone, when they first, she works for a magazine. When they agree that they're going to let...
run around in the short shorts.
No, I get that. She's a... Yeah. She's a model or... She's not the photographer, right?
No.
Somebody else is photographing her and other women.
I think she just runs the magazine.
Okay, so they're laying in bed at the beginning when he first gets accepted into the gang. Like, we're going to pick you up tomorrow and all that. And he's telling her, like, I'm going to be riding with these dudes for a while. Well, I'm going to go stay somewhere else. Why don't you quit doing this? Why do they need you to babysit the bikers? Blah, blah, blah. She wants her man to herself. She knows she's scared. He obviously does, like, little runs like this all the time where he disappears for a while. She doesn't want that. She knows he can get hurt, blah, blah, blah. But there's a whole scene later on in the movie where she's on the phone with his sergeant trying to talk him into getting him off the case, coming back to her. It's like a really unnecessary scene. It's never like wrapped up later in the movie. It could have not been there and we'd had the same movie. But it's not a boring... It's kind of interesting hearing her like kind of try to throw a little bit of power on this guy about like, just send him home for me. I'm the boss here. Like, she definitely felt like she was running that situation.
Yeah.
Like, send me my man back, you know? But it was just funny. Like, I was waiting for that to like come through later on, like that, like she either got him yanked and he didn't want to be yanked or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like it was time for him to get out and she saved him or something. But it never comes up again. And at the end, he's hanging out with her and she's just happy he's home, you know, and that's, he gets kicked to death in front of her.
I think during that, she's telling the sergeant, I'm going to run that piece on police brutality. And then he says something back to her. And it
like it's a threat. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, like it's a threat.
Right. And then he says something back to her and it kind of shuts her down. And she's like, oh, well, just try.
Right. Right. So she figured she had an ace in the hole with, she has a story about police brutality. Right. But she's not running as a favor to him, but don't fuck with me.
Right.
It's just funny. It felt like a scene that had a payoff later in the movie that just never did. But it was a like cute little scene, like outside of. It was a little break from all the hardcore biker shit going on.
That you was got the this tennis woman scene. At the
tennis course.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have a lot of guys or something. And she's like, well, we're one short over here for tennis. Like, get your fucking priorities straight.
I know you got bikers dying, but I'm trying to play some doubles.
So should we talk about...
Knickersniffer.
Right. Roger Ward. Hooks. Yeah. He's talking in that documentary about when they're doing the fight scene that they paid the Hells Angels the dope and beer for.
Yeah.
They're doing the fight scene out in the street in front of this bar. And he's, like, having a little punch back and forth with this guy. And one of the bikers, like, got all excited and jumped in and threw him a couple of licks and threw him in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
And he wanted to kick the guy's ass. But he was like, I'm gonna hit this guy and then I'm going to have 50 Hells Angels on my back.
It's going to ruin the shoot. Up.
It's going to ruin the shoot, he said. But the guy actually showed him respect after that and said, you were going to kick my ass, weren't you? But it's just funny how on the edge of control that whole production must have been.
Yeah.
You got a guy who's like basically a biker in the first place. Sandy Harbutt directing, he's not like a biker who made a movie. He's an actor who made a biker movie, but he definitely was embracing that culture.
Oh yeah, he was super into it.
He was definitely part of it. Yeah. And all those guys became part of it in some way. And he's not gonna like get all these Hells Angels on the set and be like, hey guys, like be cool. Like he understands what he's dealing with. So it had to be a real just loose shoot. And then you got like shoot. Something like you got something like that
like a porno.
where you got like actual like knife play and fisticuffs and like chicks beating each other and
those chicks were definitely rolling around on the ground fighting
that could have went south real fast and turned into
real
a big,
quick dude
the wrong actor punched the wrong biker the
oh,
wrong
yeah.
way that whole gang's gonna fuck them up. And they must have felt that tension on the set all the
that's
time.
That's why he didn't hit that dude
right. Yeah.
Well, in the
as nice as they all were to him, you just got to know that at all.
In that documentary, they have this little scene and they have Sandy Harbutt and he's got like the big bullhorn and he's like giving everyone instructions for the ride that they're going to go, you know, trying to organize just 400 cool. dudes. He goes, yeah, just be cool.
If all else
be fails. Cool. That's his motto. That's all I need. He pulls out the shotgun, cool it.
Yeah, exactly. To break up that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just another example of him getting to do all the cool shit.
Yeah, he gets to pull the gun.
Oh, a couple of you get knives. I get the shotgun.
I get the
shotgun.
Heavy. You want to go heavy? Show my
dick. Yeah, you want to get heavy?
You want to get heavy? No need for heavy.
That's funny. Just thinking Stone reminds me of kind of like a Spicoli character, you know? Just like Stone and just like out of it, like he's there. But
it was hard at first to start, like as the movie went, like I felt more like he's the cop. He's the. But at first he just looked like a, like you say, like a Spicoli. Yeah. Like he looked too... He looked too like surfer dude. Like he didn't look like the tough guy that you were gonna get. He looked like he was barely holding it together.
He took Undertaker down right at the beginning.
Oh yeah,
the little wrist lock.
Yeah, he got some good punches. He starts that big street fight and he fucking smacked the dude.
Oh man!
When he punches Toad later on. He does the whole, like, ooh.
He jumps. Leaps in. Yeah, Danny DeVito and fucking My Cousin Vinny. Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to leap punch right through you.
Yeah. So I give him that. He had kind of a Darth Vader helmet haircut.
Sandy Harbutt also had some really good swings. He was... When they were fighting the construction workers, it looked like he was beating the shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, he made that movie... He talked about, like, maybe ego. I got a big ego. It's like, dude. It's
possible.
You get to hang out in the fucking cool bedroom in the fortress overlooking the beach with a hot stoner chick. And you're sitting there flipping through a motorcycle magazine, smoking a joint. And you're going to tell me you didn't make that movie to make you look cool, dude. You
never even thought about that.
Oh, I mean, I guess I look kind of cool now that you mention it. Yeah, right, dude.
That's just you thinking I look cool.
So everybody should see Stoned.
Stoned. Even just
you mean
bit.
You mean Stone like
wait call, bring that up first.
Call Jesse, get Jesse over here.
The guy selling all the junk at the festival thing, he had that little thing that said Stoned.
Oh, yeah.
2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that my son made that as a colander.
When he first tells him his name, he says, What is your name? Stone. And he says, oh, you mean like you can't see what I'm doing, but you know what I'm doing. But it's like you know, when you're 15 and saw your first person smoking a joint, you would make that joke. Oh, you mean like Stone. It was awesome. That dude looked like an Australian Will Ferrell.
Oh, totally. But dressed up like one of the fucking village people.
he had some awesome outfits.
He was the village people biker.
He had a neckerchief.
He had the cap on. Yeah, a fucking ascot.
Neckerchief.
Yeah.
He looked like fucking Kirk Douglas in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Like the sailor, like the old-time sailor suit. Go out of your way.
We'll leave a
if
nice
you heard of it
for you, I'm sure there's not many.
If you have heard of it, if you have seen it, awesome. I'm proud of you. This is for the people who's never even heard of it, like us three idiots. This is totally a movie that I should have known about all my life. This is a movie I'd have tried to see at a very young age because just it's that kind of movie that attracts me, and I'm just happy that we stumbled on it. I'm really impressed by this movie. Mostly for the fact that it just snuck under the radar like that, and all of a sudden it pops up, and it's like this thing I should have known about all my life. So that's my final say on that. Like, really, go out of your way.
Yeah, if you're into cool shit, you like it. If you're into fucking bikes and babes and beer and fucking smoking dope and Satan, you know.
Satan. Didn't express enough that they are a satanic.
Yeah. Well, he brings up the fact that he's getting discriminated against by the
because
cops.
they're a minority religion.
And I don't think that it's so much they're not like fucking sacrificing anyone.
Yeah, no, they were being very tongue-in-cheek when they said that. Yeah, absolutely. They don't like, care that much, but it's some cool Satan shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Satanist the way, basically, the three of us would be Satanist. Just exactly. Because you like the way pentagrams look.
You're in a fucking... You're in a metal and fucking... Horror movies, whatever the fuck.
I want my friends to bury me standing up so I don't have to take any shit from Satan.
Yeah.
Not the dudes that like paint their faces like the corpse paint.
Yeah.
That kind of Satanist.
Yeah, I think they were. Satan. It was more using it as an excuse Satan. They could do what.
The god of kicking ass.
You can't fuck with us. We're a religion.
Right, we are a religion.
We're protected by law.
Just because it's a religion that freaks you out.
Yeah.
Now you're going down for the last time, mate. But don't worry, because we'll be thinking about you. Because you're our mate, right? Anyway, old Satan will be in there with you, so you'll be all right. Okay, Doctor.
Sweet Prince of Darkness, here comes one of yours. His name's Godown, and he's going down to meet you, and we want you to take care of him for us. Hmm?
Okay.
There's your colors, Godown. Now you keep your identity down there, man.
Let's get him in there.
Now, the reason we're burying you standing up is so you don't have to take anything from the evil one lying down. Right?
Right.
I didn't mean to throw us off track, but we hadn't talked about the Satanism.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you got some final shits?
Bury me standing up. I want to live there. I want a motorcycle now. I'm sold. Ready to pull the tin and hold it. It was awesome. Great. Yeah, before Mad Max was the tagline on some of the flyers. Or looked it up on Google Images, and some of the taglines are before Mad Max. Some of them say after, because it was actually released in a lot of countries after Mad Max.
Uh-huh. After the success of Mad Max.
Yeah, probably. It's like, oh, Australian biker movie.
Yeah.
He said when and he took it back in 1980, he sold it to a few people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like because I liked Mad Max, I liked this movie.
Definitely,
so,
definitely. It was the perfect... If you liked Mad Max, even if you just liked it, even if you didn't love it, you should see this movie because you'll like it. If you loved Mad Max, it's fucked up that you haven't seen this movie already. I felt that way about myself.
Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah. we should have done better.
Yeah. We're all sorry.
But I mean, if we're going to compare the two, Mad Max... Not the greatest movie ever. Stone.
This
movie? Not the greatest movie ever.
It's on par, though, I would say.
Oh,
let him say what
he
wants.
No, they're
say his thing.
I'm not saying, like, you know, they're fucking shitty or anything.
They're not Citizen Kane.
Exactly. It's not fucking The Red Violin,
you know? Schindler's List.
Right. But they're fucking fun movies full of cool shit, and if you can't enjoy it, just from that aspect, you know?
Yeah.
Like... Dudes getting their fucking heads chopped off and blown up and fucking.
Then you shouldn't be listening to this podcast,
right? Because I look on all that as better than Schindler's List, better,
right?
Than, like, that's Epoxy Club.
I enjoyed those movies, but yeah, whatever. Whenever you come to me, it's gonna be Mad Max.
There wasn't enough blood coming out of the ice globe at the beginning of Citizen Kane.
I just think, you know, some people look at stuff like that and they just don't take
it as serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they...
It bothers the shit out of me.
Yeah. So, fucking...
And that's what we're preaching.
That's respectable filmmaking.
And that's what they were preaching. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate
that. So just pull a stick out of your ass, smoke a joint, drink a couple cold beers, you know, and just fucking have fun, you know? That's what movies like that are about.
I think that's the tagline.
Right. Maybe something from the movie.
You just shut it down. Maybe something from the movie. If it's something from the movie, it's going to be something that supports that statement.
Satan!